Okay, it's on, Kim.
You mean you don't have needed seat?
I will call the Lapine City Council work session to order Wednesday, January the 22nd, 2014 at 6 p.m. And I will ask for a roll call vote, please.
Greg Jones here.
That way or this way?
Stu Martinez, present.
Karen Ward, here.
Kathy Egan, here.
We have our public works manager is here, and our city manager is doing some copying. I'll ask Doug to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Sure. Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Doug. I'm going to move to item 5, which is the Crestview Cable TV franchise. Because of a conflict of interest, the city manager asked me to work with the city attorney to get through this. And what I've got is I've got a set of talking points to explain what we did. But I'll start off by saying that that they let it lapse, which was a great thing for the city. And it allowed us to put more controls over how the franchise operated and bring in more money. So the original Crestview franchise agreement expired on May the 1st, 2012. The franchise agreement expired because Crestview Cable failed to timely renew the franchise agreement. Crestview's failure to timely renew the franchise agreement was beneficial to the city as it provided the city an opportunity to draft negotiate a more favorable franchise agreement. For example, the new franchise agreement requires Crestview to pay more in franchise fees, about $4,000 to $4,800 per year. The new franchise agreement also contains an indemnity provision. An indemnification provision was not included in the original franchise agreement. In Section 2, you should have this in front of you. In Section 2.1 provides Crestview the right and privilege to operate a cable system within the city. Section 2.2 provides that this right and privilege is not exclusive. In other words, the city can afford this opportunity to others, including Crestview's competitors. Competition fuels better pricing. The provision found under Section 4 addresses facility construction, installation, and operation. These provisions are designed to ensure that Crestview's use of the public right-of-way is done so safely and in accordance with applicable laws. The original franchise agreement contained a fraction of these safeguards and protections. Section 5.3 requires Crestview to provide basic, now this is new, provide basic and expanded basic cable service at one outlet in each public school and each public library located within the city at Crestview's cost and expense. Section 5.4 requires this same cable service be provided to one outlet in each city building at Crestview's cost and expense.
Why?
Wow.
Why not?
But I want to know why.
Well,
I'm not asking why not.
Well, it's the reason why is it's beneficial to the city. And to the schools. Oh yeah.
And they were. What's the cost on that a year?
I don't know. They were more than willing to do that. And we've got to remember that they've been a good partner to the city all along.
Oh, I know. They were our first one.
Yeah. Yeah. And Stu Martinez signed the first franchise agreement on June the 12th, 2007. Remember that?
No.
Okay. Anyway, these concessions were not provided under the original franchise agreement. Section 6.1 identifies the Crestview, that the Crestview will pay the city a franchise fee equal to 5% of Crestview's annual gross revenues. The term gross revenues is defined to include any and all revenue Crestview receives from Crestview's operations and delivery of service in the city. The term gross revenue does carve out a few exceptions, including revenues from the provision of internet access. In contrast, the prior franchise agreement limited the franchise fee to 5% of Crestview's gross local service receipts from cable television video servicing. The expansive definition of gross revenue under the new franchise agreement will result in additional franchise fees to the city in the amount that I told you about.
What was the original percent?
5%.
It was 5%.
Yeah. Section 6.4 provides the city the ability to review and audit Crestview's books and records and records confirm Crestview's compliance with the franchise agreement. This is yet another provision that was not included in the original franchise agreement. The term of the franchise agreement is 10 years. However, Section 8.2 provides the city the ability to terminate the franchise agreement if Crestview fails to perform its obligations under the franchise agreement. We also, there's a provision in here that allows us to renegotiate the franchise agreement if there is a favorable ruling by the courts regarding internet services, which I told you that was the piece that got carved out. So if that comes back, it's before the courts in Medford. There's one in Medford going on right now at the state level. So, but anyway, that's basically the change to the ordinance. And you got any questions?
No. So basically, it's increased service areas like the schools.
Right. We get free. Like I said, there's free TV services and expanded basic service in the schools and the library and each building that the city wants to put it in.
Okay.
That the city owns.
So they were, the schools and library were paying?
They were paying for it before. And they were willing to do that.
Okay.
So who negotiated this?
The city attorney and I.
And you?
And myself.
Yeah, just so you know, I actually have a business relationship. I want it on that tape.
Okay.
Coming from me. Okay. I have a business relationship with Crestview Cable, the ownership and the management. So when Crestview Cable comes along, I'm not around. The cable franchises in general, we did this with Ben Broadband. We had to work it out. They're tough and complicated because, you know, they used to be, you know, you all had just a telephone and you had a cable. Now, tracing what goes down through these wires to collect the franchise fee is difficult. And then they end up in tough positions trying to compete where one's paying franchise fee on everything. They wholesale it. So you may get a bill from somebody X, but they're really running on somebody B's lines. And how do you collect a franchise fee? This is every city, the City Attorney Association in Oregon is struggling with how to get their arms around telecommunications, cell phones, internet. It's confusing for you at home, it's confusing for everyone. Well, it's confusing when you try to figure out who's running through all these lines. And where power, that's pretty basic. You get a power bill, you know. It's this. Jeremy's done a good job in both of these, trying to collect what you can, and the companies push back, and that's probably why they put the thing in. There's challenges to some of this, and so.
Right. And we actually.
Well, as fast as technology changes.
And that was going to be my point. The fact that, you know, things are moving so fast, they're inventing new words, new definitions of what, and new types of service. So you write something one day, and 6 months later, you've got a different...
10 years will look entirely different than what we've got now.
So, are there any further questions? Any comments over there? Anybody got any comments?
Question, is this that's in here the same one?
It's the same one we have here. No further questions? Let me see. We're just discussing this anyway. It'll come up to the council on the February council session.
I just had one question. What's the situation going to be if, let's say, Ben Broadbent wants to come in and compete with him?
We have a non-exclusive franchise agreement with him, mm-hmm. and the city has the right to let anybody else come in that wants to.
Okay. I think that'd be hurtful to him.
Well, it is. And this is a tough market right now. I mean, they are really, they've got some challenges, as it was presented to us, around providing service. And every day, it's just as challenging for them as all this new stuff comes along. And it's sort of like Rick explained, this stuff could be coming from anywhere. I mean, starts in point A, mm-hmm. and goes around the world and comes back, and so.
Well, you know, one thing you know is so many people got rid of their phone lines, mm-hmm. you know. But don't worry, CenturyLink Quest, 3/4 of everything you get, guess whose lines it's running through?
Theirs.
As a wholesale. Because you notice they're not out digging up streets in your neighborhood.
No.
Well, so you may buy from X, but the reality is, if it's yellow, whatever, these wires running under the ground, most of the time are still the same wires. And so, you know, they become a wholesaler half the time. And so, yeah, it's I'm telling you, it's mind-boggling.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
well, that will be on our meeting.
Right.
What about this cable service to schools and municipal buildings? That's the installation of the cable to it, or that's the monthly? The service is
well, free. They'll bring the service to it, and they will, and the service is free.
So they said they were paying for it before, so they must already have the service to the building.
They could, but let's say the office on William Foss down there. If the city wanted service in there, they would put it in there. I don't know if it's in there now or not.
There's not. You know, there's no need for television, but the communications.
You're in there.
Internet and the communications that could be an asset for telemetry type systems that we don't have now.
Yeah, we'll probably want, I think, internet down there. And then we may want a Wi-Fi so when people use the building.
I mean, sure. We have satellite and everything at our office, and it's amazing how handy that comes in.
Well, see, that's just an added benefit.
It's more of a communications tool, so it really does come in handy.
I think it's so wonderful if we ever have an emergency.
Save them some money. Mm-hmm.
Keeping up with news reports and stuff.
Item number 4 is the business license ordinance.
Okay.
Rick?
So, went through it, we met with the chamber, you know, and they endorsed that for us. And we are wanting to make sure that everyone's, you know, still on board. We're going to be coming, you know, at our meeting in February for that. Jeremy will be here that night because we got several issues. And they'll get undrafted this next week and then it'll go out. But it's what we talked about. It's a, we'll have a resolution also that actually enacts parts of it, but we will have it's going to be set up for $45 a year. I think a $20 temporary. So if you're going to be 30 days or less, like a Christmas thing or something, you'd be $20. And then anything above a month, you just pay for the year.
Rick, did we buy the Cassell
yes.
package for business? Okay.
So this will, and this won't take effect until 30 days after that, so it'll be sometime in the middle of March. In the meantime, we'll have the software in and get trained on it. And then April, May, June, we'll ask people to start giving us their names. We'll actually do a press release and get out there and talk in the Newberry and start getting names and addresses. We'll get the forms out, you know, to everyone and through the chamber. It'll take you a couple of years to get a database of all of this. What we'll do is I want to get our 1,000 inspectors in town. I always call that, we have 1,000 inspectors.
Yes.
And a guy told me the other day, he says 1,001 because he just moved to town. But we're going to need all 1,000 inspectors to be, when they see a delivery truck at a place or a repairman, write down that name on the side of that truck. And that's exactly what you have to do, because otherwise then the only one who pays is Kitty, because she's in the city. But there's three other companies that are doing business in and around town. And believe me, I need Kitty to email me, hey, company X, we have no idea who does business in town. So when you, for a while, like Stu, who's doing business at your shop? The people we do business with. You know, and so it'll take, and I think I would say our 1,001 inspectors can all be emailing us names. It's going to take a while to build a database.
Yeah. What about having some signage at both ends of towns, you know, stating that you have to have a...
Yeah, you know, we could do something like that.
You could do that? I didn't know.
Yeah, I think it will be kind of, that way we'll have 3 or 4 months to kind of get them in. They don't need to pay us yet, but our software will then produce the license and everything. Some people will want to go ahead probably early and just pay us, you know. I don't want people to panic that come July 1, not every single person doing business with Pine will be registered. That just isn't going to happen. And it's an ongoing process. I would say in Madras, a company's caught daily.
Really?
Well, of course, because they come into town. Yeah. You know, it's just an ongoing process. So don't get worked up over it. It's just
door to door people.
It's internal. Door to door, yes, that's all addressed in here.
Okay.
And so I'll give you an example. We have, Vicki has a new, what's that beauty?
Mary Kay
person doing business in town.
She should buy booth licenses.
Yeah.
You know?
So I was thinking like Swanson. I mean, you never know if they've got, what is he called? Swan. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They come in my neighborhood.
Do
that's
they?
My grocery
yeah.
man.
Yeah.
Yeah, they sell.
They're paying him everywhere else. They're used to it.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know. Those ones will understand. It's going to be more of your Mary Kay lady that no one in Bend ever caught her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But okay. Expect some complaints. But
will the city be exempt?
I don't know that. I couldn't tell you.
Because we have vendors.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you. We don't. I don't know. I mean, if you're being funny, I don't know.
I'm not being.
Well, I mean, no. I mean, we'll buy it if we need to. We'll write ourselves a check. Usually that kind of thing you don't do, but whatever.
What kind of vendors do we have?
Well, we have buy office supplies.
Oh, you mean? No, you're saying. I thought you meant the city need to buy a